had a signal. I half laughed and half cried as I fumbled to dial Ryan's number. Drav stood close, watching me, his thick fingers still playing with my hair. Ryan picked up on the first ring.
Maya!
His voice echoed like he had me on speakerphone. Hearing him cracked the hold I had on my frayed emotions. He really was alive.
Maya, baby, are you okay?
Mom asked.
I'm fine. We barely got out. I can't believe I'm talking to you.
Silent tears choked my words. Drav's fingers immediately traced down my hair. Mom began to cry, and Ryan's voice shook when he next spoke.
Oh my God, Maya, I wanted to call you as soon as they turned the phones back on, but I was scared you had your ringer on and the infected would hear.
It's okay. I'm okay. I'm safe, I promise, I said.
Where's Dad?
When we saw your text saying where you were, he went to try to stop the bombing, Ryan said. I laughed through my tears. That sounded like Dad.
You'll probably need to bail him out from somewhere. Where are you? I've been at least a day behind you, at the house, the cabin, the base.
They're not telling us where we are.
What? Why not?
Because they're afraid. His voice lowered. There are some rumors that it's not just the hounds and the infected out there. I've heard something else showed up with the quakes. Something smart. Something the military's afraid of.
I met Drav's steady gaze. I don't understand what that has to do with them not telling you where you are.
Whatever these things are, they can understand us. Communications went down to stop them from getting any potential information they might be able to use against us.
Then why turn the phones back on?
They weren't going to. People here rioted when we heard the military was going to bomb the cities. Everyone is missing someone and hoping they're still alive.
Cities?
Yeah. Yelling erupted in the background on Ryan's end and grew louder.
Head north, Ryan said quickly. There's more than one safe zone for survivors. Stay away from the cities.
The line went dead. Pulling the phone from my ear, I checked the connection and immediately tried calling back. No one answered. A moment later, I lost my signal. Without warning, I found myself once again holding my bag and cradled in Drav's arms. He took off running. The wind battered my face, but I didn't protectively duck into his chest again.
Wait, I said, trying to breathe. Where are you going?
I looked around at the blurring trees and the sky, trying to get my bearings. We needed to head north. Where in the heck was the sun?
We must keep moving, he said without slowing.
The trees gave way to a few houses in the rural outskirts of the city, as well as a hazy view of the sun, before we ran under their cover once more.
But we're going the wrong way. The sun needs to be on our right side.
Listen, he said, maintaining his focus on running. Do you not hear it?
Ducking out of the wind, I concentrated on the sounds around us. The absence of bird song and animal chatter still creeped me out. That left the faintly discernible whoosh of our passage under the noise of the explosions going off, getting louder, actually, and the hum of the planes in the sky.
What should I be hearing? The bombings or the planes?
Both, and they are in the direction you want to go. You have many cities, and they plan to destroy them all. You are not safe here. If I take you north, you will get hurt.
My stomach sank as I realized he was right. He couldn't take me north. Ryan had made humanity's fear of Drav's people clear. If Drav tried helping me reach a safe zone, he'd be the one hurt. I couldn't risk that. I had to reach my family on my own, yet the idea of leaving him upset me. This new world scared me less with him at my side, and he certainly wouldn't like the idea of me going off on my own either. However, the bombings would give me the cover I needed to use a different mode of travel.
We need to find a road, or a car, I said.